2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. I don't know who they is. They say knowledge is power. And if perspective puts power in living, then it's probably fair to say that, perspective puts knowledge in living, being that knowledge is power. And Mike said, it's kind of tough when the song leader's off on the beat. I can only sing 4/4 songs any good. All the other ones they're hard for me. And doctor said, they sounded great. You see, now, if you were sitting in front of me, you wouldn't think that. Although perspective gives a little knowledge, but there is great power in knowledge. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for each and every day, as long as they are called today, and until you come back, that's going to be the case. We're thankful for the Lord's day that we can come together and proclaim the death and life of Jesus Christ, and that through him, through his birth and life and death and ascension, we can see an example of what it means to win this life in the Spirit and to defeat the flesh. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that along with that, you have given us your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, and the Word preserved, that we may come together every week and every day to encourage one another and to grow in the Scriptures, so that we can remain faithful in this fight. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There are a couple things by the way of introduction, because I probably am preaching to the choir, try to fast forward through. But there's been a song that's been on my mind. I'm not usually one for more of the Christmassy type songs, but when I decided I was going to do this message is when I really listened to the words. Born, that man no more may die. Born, to raise the sons of earth. Born, to give them second birth. That's really powerful. You think, I don't preach a whole lot, certainly don't have a ton of Christmas Day messages under my belt. I don't know what to preach on. Jesus wasn't born in December, and I don't know when he was born. Thanks, Jeremy, now I know. Along with some other things. And, Jesus was born, though. Born that men no more may die. And so there is a new birth. But if you believe in a new birth, you must also believe in a new power. We see here in verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will not die. If you believe in a new birth, you must believe in a new power. Born that man no more may die. We could look at Romans chapter 6, and we know that this birth comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says something similar. Romans 6, 4 shows us that this birth comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so with this new birth comes a new power. What is the new power? The Word of God says that if you believe with a faith, you repent in your mind, you confess Jesus as Lord, and you're immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is the new power. And we want to pause for a moment to remember that entrance into Christ is the same entrance into the kingdom of God. It is the Spirit that is the seal of our inheritance. It is the Spirit that says we belong in heaven and we are of Christ on that final day. And that those two things are one and of the same. When you are immersed in the name of Jesus Christ, you are immersed into his body and you are also placed into the kingdom of God. And being that Scripture says the Holy Spirit is the pledge of our inheritance, that is the power. Paul writes Timothy and says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." John writes, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Ephesians chapter 3, a couple different places, says that the Father would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. That's a beautiful thing. That's a hard thing to explain, too. How are you strengthened with power through His Holy Spirit in your inner man? He says that He does it. And it's through the Spirit, and it's with great power. To Him, also in Ephesians 3, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us. So what is this power? It is the Spirit. Also going to fast forward through this. We can look at Acts chapter 16, Romans chapter 8, Colossians chapter 1, and very quickly find out that the Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus Christ are the exact same thing. Okay? The Spirit indwelt Christian is indwelt with the Spirit of Jesus Himself. And you look at this from the outside looking in with a ministry of reconciliation, that kind of just makes sense, because Jesus comes in the world in the flesh and makes the single most greatest impact in the history of mankind, according to the flesh, and then raises and gives His same Spirit so that He can take the gospel message to the four corners of the world. What Jesus is doing from His throne in heaven right now far outweighs any physical thing He did when He was here on earth. And so the Spirit is the power that comes with the new birth. Jesus does indeed live in your heart and through faith. Paul writes to the Galatians, "Because you are sons of God, because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" That's the power of the new creation, that Christ lives in you. "And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." The end? That's a pretty great message. Yeah. This guy's always being nice. Yeah, Jesus was born. And through Him is the resurrection and the life. And, you know, if you repent at the gospel, you can get His Spirit. And that's a great message. But it doesn't stop there, does it? And see, that's what Larry's talking about. There is a life and a walk called Christianity. It's called being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Yes. So now what? You know, the gospel message, without the renewing power of the Holy Spirit daily, you know, it's like buying one of them nice, you know, one-ton diesel dually pickups so you can, you know, drive the kids to school every day and maybe drive yourself to your office job. You know, and there's some of those out there, but they have great power. The trucks, they got some great power, but they're not being used. And so it is with a gospel that ends before the renewing part of what the Holy Spirit brings and the real power that comes from within. You know, I think about how easy it is to go computer shopping and have your eyes set on that, you know, $500 laptop and then somehow getting talked into the $1,000 one that's got the upgraded core processor in it. How am I doing, Larry? Doing okay? So you can do multi-functioning fixtures at once, so you can take it home to scroll Facebook. You know, there are great power in there, and I don't really know what they're at now. But what computers can do compared to just a few years ago really is, you know, powerful. And, you know, what are we using them for? So is the gospel message. Without the renewing power of the Holy Spirit in the new creation. Colossians chapter 1. Starting in verse 25, Paul writes, "Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And we know that verse fairly well. Christ in you. The Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and it's what's in us and gives us a hope of glory. It's the message that's been hidden from the past ages. But I love what Paul says here, that I may fully preach the gospel. That lends the question, can you preach an impartial gospel? And you can. And it's one that stops before the renewing power and the mystery of the Spirit in you, the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Something that's been hidden from the past ages and has been revealed in these last days to us, the church and body of Jesus Christ. So we got the Spirit. What are we doing with it? Everything I got is stolen. I think this one's Mr. Doty. What are you doing with the Spirit now that you weren't doing before? Something to that effect. I haven't asked myself this question in a while. What am I doing now, 5-some years into this, that I wasn't doing before? Back in 2 Corinthians 5, where we started, verse 16 says, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know Him in this way no longer." You know, the Scripture is saying, Galatia, Corinth, Ephesus, Rome, Laodicea, Billings, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I, you know, sometimes people come up here and they issue guys little challenges. Really go do this if you haven't. Plug in, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ in Bible Gateway and find out how many times it's in the New Testament. And if you don't know, it will blow your mind. I'd say easily 75% of the New Testament letters written to other people begin with that. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to do that without the Spirit? It takes one to know one. It takes a Spirit to know a Spirit, and specifically the Spirit of Christ. And Scripture says, "For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved." You see, in this process, it is fair to say that when you were immersed into Christ and your name was written in heaven, you were saved. It's also very fair to say that this is a gospel message that by which we are being saved. And it's also accurate to say that when Jesus comes back, we are going to be saved from a wicked and perverse generation. You see, this is a process. This is a continual belief and repentance, and one that is only won with the power of the Holy Spirit. "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh." Because even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, thus we know Him this way no longer. You see, the thing that changed was our perspective. The thing that changed was our knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and where He's seated. Like Larry said in his prayer, may He not be in a manger, may He be in His throne in heaven. That's what changes when we become Christians, is to change the way that we see Christ, and we change ultimately the way we see the world. That's why the cross is referred to as a stumbling block. The thing that doesn't change is the cross. But if you're looking at it from a place where you're dead to God in your sins, the only thing that cross does is tells you that you're dead in your sins. And on the other side, in Christ Jesus, you look back at that thing and it's the power of salvation. The cross doesn't change. Our perspective does. A couple different ways you can look at it, but it's either one or the other. You're either in or you're out. "So the old things truly have passed away, and new things have come." these new things mean we're supposed to be different. Right? Now I became a Christian, so I started dressing a little nicer and, you know, combed my hair and started going to the gym. So I'm supposed to be different. You know, the old things are gone. You see, we're not talking about the way we look. We're talking about changing the way we think. Changing the way we think. I'm thinking of a six-letter word that starts with R and ends with epent. I mean, that cross is salvation to mankind, but the difference is when we're in Christ, it changes the way that we see it. Changes the way we see Jesus. And it changes the way we see His church. And it changes the way that we see the world. That's a continual repentance. Continual repentance. Yeah, so being born again should produce a change in us. Mainly, you know, God wants us to assess things spiritually. He's looking for a people in a physical world that can assess things spiritually. How do we view ourselves? How do we view others? And how do we view the purpose of this world? You see, because if done correctly, it should create a dramatic change in the individual. Just think for a minute, what could the church of God, the kingdom of God, truly accomplish if we genuinely all changed the way we saw who we were in Christ? And if we all, according to the exhortation laid out in the scriptures, truly saw everyone in the world for who they really are. Souls in need of Jesus Christ. And truly changed the way we saw the purpose for this life. Seeing ourselves really as ambassadors for Christ. Being sent out so that those in the world are the ones who we see as being in need of being reconciled back to God. Because this whole plan is a ministry of reconciliation that God's got going, namely through Christ Jesus. What could the church accomplish? It all comes down to how we look at it. You know, I think we do pretty good. And a lot of times, you know, the fruit of that isn't something you see. And not necessarily immediately. This stuff goes 10, 20, 100 years down the road, the impact that we make today for the kingdom of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's take a minute. Think about, you know, what are you doing with the Spirit now that you weren't doing before? I'm not necessarily challenging you guys because this is the question I asked myself when I wrote this. What am I doing now? What are you doing with the power and the fullness of God that lives in you, that's in your body, that you weren't doing before? Is there great power in the Holy Spirit? Amen. You know, one of the things I told myself was the thing that I'm doing now that I wasn't doing before is genuinely loving one another. Genuinely loving others. Scripture talks about love in the kingdom of God, and it also talks about love of people out in the world. I really hope that through the power of the Spirit that indwells me, that I have the capability to love like Jesus loved. Especially you guys. Man, you guys are great. I got a good crowd tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who is in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but one such a word is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and as a sacrifice to God, as a fragrant aroma. You see, it's the anger, the unwholesome words, bitterness, wrath, malice, clamor, slandering. That's the stuff that destroys. That's the stuff that can destroy a walk in the Spirit. But they're a direct result of the flesh. And it is the Holy Spirit that has been given precisely for the purpose of overcoming these very things. That's why we have it, is to overcome these, not limited to deeds of the flesh. The Holy Spirit is what has the power to overcome the flesh and its desires. You see, the things of the flesh, these, you know, we have plenty of these lists in the New Testament scriptures. You see, they're the easy way. The anger, strife, clamoring, those are the easy things. It's the spiritual things like patience and love and kindness and patience that are the hard ones. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I love that. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you. I hope through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to set aside things like deeds of the flesh and overcome them through the power of Christ who lives in us. Because the Spirit of Christ cares about souls and he cares about himself. That's clear in the Gospels. Jesus Christ cared about others more than himself. That's the Spirit that we've been given. That same Spirit that cares. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. You know, Jesus has a will. And that is the same will of the Jesus and the Spirit and Christ that is in you. And he cares about the souls of mankind being restored back to their God. And that's what Jesus cares about. That's the Spirit of Christ cares about. And that's what the Spirit cares about that lives in you. Restoring man back to their God. You know, we got to live our lives for Jesus, ultimately. Wanting the things that, you know, that he wants. You know, Scripture says that God is love. And it's those who love that are born of God. And so, the Lord needs some people who are going to show a little love. Okay? He needs a people who are going to be able to demonstrate His love like Jesus did in this life, so that it will attract those who are in desperate need of it. The love of God being shown through His church. Guys, that's us. The love of God being shown so that those outside those doors, they're lost. See the love that's in your heart and be drawn to God because of it. You know, I've been thinking about songs lately. You know, more about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of His saving fullness, see. more of his love, who died for me. I say this out of a spirit of encouragement. I think we could all benefit from talking about Jesus Christ a little more. No matter where we're at. And I'm sitting there with Dr. Dave in the front row listening to this too. We could all benefit from talking about Jesus a little more. And we need to live our lives for Jesus Christ. He died for all, so that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them. You know, if you've been born again and you're aware of the power of the Holy Spirit, and you still catch yourself doing the thing you hate, I encourage you, spend a little more time talking about Jesus. You know, Luke mentioned this morning about older gentlemen and their ability to talk. You know, a lot of people laughed, and I thought it was pretty funny too. You know, we're fresh off Christmas Eve. You know, holidays bring in family, and family means grandparents, and, you know, grandpa talks. You know, I said that yesterday. I said, I will be him. You know, talking about Sheree's dad. I'm going to be him. You know, when I get old, I'm just going to have stories, and I want to share them with everyone and make sure they heard them, you know, so I got to say them again. Man, you know, we really do talk. We talk a lot. You know, I prepared out some notes for the message tonight, and I kind of lined them all up in a big row to kind of see how much time I was spending on each point. You know, my goal is to get us out of here early, and that didn't happen. And, man, that's a lot of words. It's only going to take up about, you know, 30, 35 minutes. You know, we talk a lot. You ever stop and think about how much we cover in a week's time? How many conversations we have? You know, family, friends. You know, most people think the cell phone revolution is, you know, dramatically killing our communication in this world, but isn't that what they're doing? Communicating?
One emoji at a time.
One emoji at a time. Hey, listen, you know, before cell phone, I took a picture of this one time. You know, I spent a lot of time in coffee shops, so there's a whole family in the corner huddled behind their newspapers. It doesn't matter if it's a newspaper or a cell phone. People are going to find a way to do it their own way, okay? This is just our modern-day distraction. Okay? But aren't they communicating? Just think about how much communicating you do, you know, throughout the week. But let's get Jesus up in the front of that cerebrum. You know, that part, the thinking, the talking, the walking, the hearing, hopefully listening. Let's get Jesus up there. Get our minds set on, you know, things above. Can you get your mind set on the kingdom of God? And can you get your mind set on things above without setting your mind on Christ? I love how Kevin brings out, when you see prophecies of the Christ, you see them right next to prophecies of His church. And Ephesians lets us know that's because it's His body. It is very much a part of Him. We are a part of the body of Jesus Christ, who is our head. We can't say that we're Christians and we're setting our mind on things above. Setting our mind on the kingdom, you know. But we're not talking about Jesus. Even to our family. And our fellow Christians, let alone the people who really need it, who don't have Jesus. I just want to encourage us, talk a little bit more about Jesus. How much does He really come out of our mouths? You know, I had time this afternoon to watch the Warriors play, and I like basketball, and, you know, right now I think that's okay. And, man, I could start just ripping off a bunch of basketball statistics right now. You know, I could tell you what team's shooting the most three-pointers, and I could tell you what team's making the most three-pointers, and I could tell you what team has the most assists, and who's the best team, and who's the worst team. And I know all that stuff because I care. I like basketball. And so we really got to challenge ourselves. What can we talk about in Jesus? What do we know? And what are we excited to share with people? And it's all going to come from how much we care. And we can find out by, you know, how much it's coming out. We could all just spend a little more time talking about Jesus. You know, there's a friend in the assembly who posted on Facebook that got one of those, I just don't know what it is. It says top 10 words used this year or something, you know? And so it goes through your page and knocks out all the articles and all the useless words. And then it just tells you what were the words. You know, and it was like God, Jesus, Spirit, you know, saves, belief, hope. And I was like, man, I was, you know, in a very spiritual right way, I was really proud of that person. I don't know what mine's going to say. That's why I didn't hit the button. You know, like, hey, that guy's talking about Jesus. I just thought that was really cool. You know, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. And with such, a new potential, a new power. You know, I just upgraded my software on my computer, and I still don't know if it's a good thing. But man, I would be really bummed out if I upgraded the software on my computer and just to have it do what it was doing before. You know, I'd hope it'd be a little faster. And, you know, the apps that crash, you know, I hope they would fix that. You know, and the login problems I'm having, I hope that they would fix that. You know, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are gone. Got some spiritual genetics up in this body. And the Lord, it wants something that recognizes that power and is drawing on it. And Christ is the limit, church. Christ is the limit. So that's another way of saying it's limitless. Heaven's the limit. There is no limit to the power. The only restrictor on the power is the flesh, and Larry brought out. Okay? The only restrictor to what we can do and to the power within us comes on our end. And that's where we're responsible for the belief and the repentance continually. And a mindset on the Spirit. Genuinely set on the Spirit. And serve Jesus with our lives. You know, because we only have them because of Him. He's the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in Him will never die. And so we, during this process, let's regard others as we regard Christ. You know, in perfect love. Thanks, appreciate you guys.